You know, there's all this talk about Social Security and will it be around? Are the benefits going to get cut in 2033 or 2034 as current prognosis is? And Terry Savage talks about this a lot. I happen to agree. I think they'll figure something out. There's just too many votes to not figure out a solution, but still it's a worrying thing. Jeff Rabin, I know you handle more of the SSDI and SSI side of things. First of all, welcome back to WGN, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great this evening, John. Thank you for having me back on your show.
I never thought to ask you, are SSI and SSDI more funded? Are there less in risk of going the bad way like Social Security is? Walk us through like maybe how those are funded separately and what the prognosis is for those two funds.
So SSDI is funded similarly to retirement. We pay our payroll taxes, except that instead of going into the retirement trust fund, a percentage of the payroll taxes go into the disability trust fund. That pays for SSDI. Now, SSI, Supplemental Security Income, that's actually different, John. That's paid for out of general tax revenues.
Mm.
So that one's always a more political hot button, because if your consideration is building another battleship or cutting corporate taxes or expanding space travel, SSI is another line item on the budget that can be looked at for alternative uses.
Mm.
But the SSDI trust fund is actually good for the next 75 years.
Oh, wow.
So that one's fine. It's the retirement trust fund that Congress keeps refusing to address and keeps everybody on edge. In fact, I heard your commercial for the estate, the investment firm, and not only do investment firms help union and working people handle their pension money, but it's also handling their Social Security money and making filing decisions. Should I file for retirement at 62 or 67 or 70? And what about my spouse? So you have a lot of people on this program, and you work with a lot of people where Social Security issues are a key part of what they can help people consider and make very, very important lifetime decisions on.
That's a great point you bring up. I mean, yeah, that's a general concern for all of us, but of course with Megan and union stuff, that makes sense too. There's a lot of questions to be answered with it. I guess I'll just put this to you since you're in this world. I mentioned the money lady, Terry Savage. I happen to think that politically they'll figure this out. Are you as optimistic or are you a little worried that in 8-9 years there could be some benefit cuts from the general retirement fund?
You know, there's 70 million plus Americans getting benefits from Social Security. You would imagine that by now even somebody in Congress would say, let's get this resolved. Now, there are two bills pending. And just real quickly, just so people know about this, for several years now, a representative, I believe, is out of Rhode Island named John Larson, introduced the Social Security 2100 Act, which would raise benefits to people for both SSDI and SSI and for retirement, improve the COLA, improve benefits to widows. It would be paid for by increasing the payroll rate about 0.1%, 0.1% a year, up to the 14.8% level, and it would include payment of FICA taxes or OASDI taxes on people who earn over $400,000 a year, because right now they don't pay FICA taxes once you hit a certain income level. So that bill has been pending there, and it won't even get a debate in Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Another proposal now that Bill Cassidy, a Republican, and Tom Keene have come up with, a Democrat, is totally different. It's kind of unusual. I'll just give you the quick highlights. They want to take $1.5 trillion over 10 years, invest it in the stock market for 75 years, keep Social Security funded out of general revenues and the payroll tax. 75 years from now, they predict that $1.5 trillion will be so much, they could repay the U.S. Treasury all the money that it's owed and continue funding retirement, survivors, and disability benefits.
Interesting. So instead of creating private tax funds that some people have floated individually, like our Social Security dollars, we could put into a private stock market fund They're saying put the whole lump sum of a bunch of money in there, government taxpayer dollars and or taxpayer dollars, and let that grow?
Let that grow for 75 years and then switch over from the trust fund model to using those funds.
Wow.
And by the way, the worst idea is setting up individual accounts. Because let's take a 30-year-old guy who's working and making a good buck, and he gets to take his Social Security money and invest it, and he's got two little kids,
oh,
and he's
yeah.
hit by a car. There's no way he has enough money saved up to support his family, whereas if he got hit by a car, that disability money would support him until he hit 67 and went on retirement. It would help his wife. It would help his kids get through college. And there's no way individually we save up, even if we invest it all in NVIDIA, that we would have, any of us would have enough money to support ourselves if we were to become disabled or,
yeah.
or die and enough to support our family. So this whole privatization, in my view, and I'm not an economist, but in my view, is a really good idea for Wall Street and a really bad idea for everybody else.
Okay, you had one note for me, and I want to help you. Let you explain it to me. How does going on SSDI, disability insurance, if you're eligible and you need to do it and you're totally unable to work, how does that protect future retirement benefits that you may get or your spouse may get? What's this all about?
All right, so we're getting a little bit in the weeds, but
okay.
We can discuss it. So when you get your retirement benefits, you've worked your whole life, you've paid into the system, and they look at your quarters of coverage and how much you've earned. And your last 40 years or 35 years of quarters are factored in through a complex formula, and that determines your benefit amount. Well, if you stop working at, say, 45, you've got 25 years in, and you stop working because you're disabled or you just quit, and then you wait until collect your retirement at 67, you have 22 years in there where you didn't pay into the system, and those quarters are all factored in, and your benefit at retirement is going to be way, way lower than it should have been. If, however, you work your years, you get disabled, and you go on Social Security disability, you're basically collecting your full retirement benefit. Each year goes on, you hit full retirement age, they ignore all the quarters that you were on disability. And simply just do a transfer of your full benefit amount from the disability insurance trust fund to the retirement trust fund. It's called the retirement accounts freeze.
That makes sense. So
it's
not a bunch of zeros they calculate for an average. They instead kind of move it along as if it was what you earned the whole time.
Correct.
Interesting.
And it's a huge benefit to my clients that I represent over all these years. We never bother explaining it to them because it's,
it's too much.
Kind of in the weeds.
Yeah.
But by the time they hit 67 and they go off their disability and they go on to retirement, they haven't lost a dime, and they'll still get their full benefits all the way until death.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important for people to consider.
Jeff, you know a lot about all this stuff. We're out of time tonight, a little squeezed tonight. Our good friend Steve Bertrand, his last show was today. So we're a little light on time today, but people could reach out to you directly. You're happy to chat with people if they're curious how this works or they think they might have a claim. What number do you want them to reach you at, Jeff?
They can call us anytime at 312-431-1000. 312-431-1000, or they can always email me at jeff@rkblegal.com, or just go on our website, rkblegal.com.
Jeff, we'll talk on this show and on Let's Get Legal soon, okay?
John, take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Let's take a break ahead of the news on WGN.